Our simple text today here in Ecclesiastes 2:1, which Joshua read so expertly, is found in the midst of a larger section there in Ecclesiastes that reminds us that youth is wonderful, youth is fun, youth is joyous. You can go to the next slide. There we go. There's the joyful part. But it's fleeting, isn't it? It's brief. It's over before you know it, and the decline of old age comes upon you. Thus, Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones was right. Getting old is a drag. And if you take a look at Mick, you can see it's true. Sorry, Mick. For example, as you get older, your eyes go bad, right? Here's a little meme that speaks to that. It says here, the bad news is I accidentally took the wrong medicine today. The good news is now I'm protected from heartworms and fleas in the next 3 months. That's a good thing, right? It's a blessing. Or how about this one here? You can't read it. He says to her, I texted you something. He goes, that's a calculator, honey. Well, the other problem with old age, not only eyesight, is memory, right? Your memory starts to go. I can remember all the words to the song written in 1993, but I can't remember why I walked into the kitchen. Have you ever had that problem? That happens. I hate that. So too, as you get older, your energy goes, right? It seems your get up and go just got up and went. And here's a meme that speaks to that. It says here, the older I get, the earlier it gets late. Have you found that to be true? We went to bed at 10 o'clock last night. Oh my goodness. So don't make foolish mistakes. Even though that's true. Oops, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. Don't panic about getting older. As sage once said this, remember, once you stop getting older, you're dead. So the alternatives are not so great. But don't make the foolish mistake of so many who think that since youth is fleeting and getting old is inevitable, then just throw caution to the wind and live large and party hard and go for the gusto while you can. In fact, someone once said this, that youth is for pleasure, middle age is for business, old age is for religion. You know who said that? The devil said that. That's what he would like us to believe, right? But God has different advice for us, doesn't he? In our text today, what does it read? It reads there, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Indeed, youth, don't buy the lie that since life is so short, you better party it up now, you better live it up now, you better drink it up now, you better drug it up now, you better sex it up now, you better get wasted while you can. Besides, you know, being religious and moral and sober and spiritual is something you can always do, you know, when you get old. There'll always be plenty of time for that, right? But for now, I just want to sow my wild oats and have some fun, right? Isn't that the reasoning process of so many today who are young and apparently not so young, right? It is. But what are the flaws in that reasoning? There are several. I'm going to talk about three. First of all, there is no guarantee, is there, in life that you will live as long as you think you might live. For example, youth, you could go out tonight, you could get hit by a drunk driver, crosses the median, plows head on into you, obliterates you in an instant. That could happen. Life would be over. There are no guarantees. So too, you who are young today, you live in a different world, don't you? You don't realize it. You live in a different world from the world that we old folks grew up in. Some of those differences are minor. For example, check this out. 1968, 2018. Things have changed. So too, unlike me, you have grown up with the internet. And that presents all sorts of wonderful possibilities as well as new and novel dangers. Now, one minor danger is that you might be tempted to withdraw into yourself so much into your own little world of the internet that you separate yourself off from real social relationships with real people, including your family. And here's something that speaks to that. Wi-Fi went down for 5 minutes, so I had to talk to my family. They seem to be nice people. Some of you parents can relate to that, right? So too, back in the day, we didn't have online dating as a possibility. You know, we actually had to screw up enough courage to go talk to the girl. But today, all you have to do is swipe left, swipe right, swipe left, swipe right. But of course, there are dangers in that as well. For example, I like this benign example here. I told her I was a pit bull. But of course, there are sad stories and more dangerous examples, because when you date online, you never know who you're really talking to or who you're really going to end up with, right? Or what about the bullying factor and the stalking factor that the internet has added? I mean, how about this one here? I am not stalking you. By the way, you're out of milk. It's kind of scary, isn't it? So you live in a world that in so many ways is far more dark, far more dangerous than the world that we grew up in. But the point is, there are no guarantees that you will survive your youth. Tragedies happen all the time. And we can't simply assume that we can put God off and put off our relationship with God and getting right with God until we make some sort of deathbed confession when we're 98 years old. Life doesn't always work out that way. Remember that. Realize that. That brings me to the second reason that you shouldn't coldly calculate your eventual coming to Jesus moment, because how you live your life and how you live your youth and your life as a youth will become a pattern of how you live your life as a young adult, as a middle-aged adult, and even as a senior citizen. Indeed, the mistakes you might make today or tomorrow could have a lifetime effect. All it takes is one DUI. All it takes is one overdose of drugs. All it takes is one sexually transmitted disease to change your life forever. That's all it takes. Likewise, the lifestyle choices that you make in your youth tend to become the pattern of your lifestyle choices as you grow old. In fact, here's a meme that speaks to that truth. It says, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes the reason is you're stupid and make bad decisions. And that's true. There is cause and effect in the universe. I ask you, have you chosen to be a hard worker in school? Have you chosen to be lazy? Have you chosen to take the hard road, the road of integrity, the road of honesty, or the road of lying and cheating on your exams? Have you chosen to look to God, to follow God, and put Him first and His word every day and in prayer? Or have you chosen to live independent of Him, independent of His truth, independent of His ways? What have you chosen in this phase in your life? You see, the patterns you set when you're young will either bless you or haunt you the rest of your life. In fact, someone once observed this. Many people handle old age poorly simply because they've never handled any other part of their life well. That's true. Why? Because bad habits get worse. The effects of wrong living pile up. Raw emotions become rawer and rawer, don't they? Angry youth become cranky old men and women. That's a fact. But on the positive side, when we remember God in our youth, when we set a different pattern, we establish a different character, we set a different trajectory, not only for this life, but for the life to come. In eternity, right? So that's why you need to choose to remember God now, in your youth. Not to wait until you're too old or too decrepit or too cynical or too hard-hearted to do what you know you ought to do now. And that is to turn to Jesus now, even today, this morning. Don't put it off. Don't delay. That brings us to the third and last thing we need to see here. And that is, The reason you should not wait to turn to Jesus until you're old is because even if you do have the opportunity to do that, you by then will have wasted an entire life. You know, back in the day, there was an evangelist called D.L. Moody. I like to talk about Moody. I like to tell the story about it. D.L. Moody, by the way, was a shoe salesman by day. And he was an evangelist at night. Someone once said he sold souls in the daytime and saved souls at night. You could say that, but don't say that anywhere else. Anyway, I love to tell the story. One evening, Moody was out preaching, and he came back, and his roommate asked him, how'd things go? He said, it went well. He goes, really? Did anybody come to Christ? He said, yes. He said, how many came to Christ? You know what Moody said? 2.5 people. Two and a half people? What are you talking about? You know what Moody said? Yeah. 2 children, 1 adult. Think about it. An adult only can give half his life to the Lord, really. A child or a youth has their entire life to give to the kingdom of God. Amen. And Moody saw that. And Moody celebrated that. That's why we celebrate these 3 youth who yesterday gave their whole life to Jesus. Amen. So don't waste your life by waiting. Besides, what are you waiting for? You know, you're not living in Pakistan, that if you confess Jesus now, you might die next week, as is happening there. You live in Puerto Rico. You live in a culture where we put a huge creche right across the street from the Capitol building. Try that in the U.S. You won't get away with that. ACLU will be all over your case. So what are you waiting for? You know, when I was a kid once. Some of you are youth, probably don't really believe that. It's true. Back when I was a teenager in middle school, you may not believe this either. I had trouble with small talk. I had trouble talking to people. I was very shy. I didn't know what to say to people. I'm not getting this. Now you think of Bob Zobie as a big blabbermouth. But back in the day, I was extremely shy, very quiet. But it didn't matter because in middle school, I had this 6'3" friend named Steve Pisanelli. He's an Italian kid. And Steve did nothing but talk. He talked and talked and talked and talked. But it was great. We had a great relationship. He talked, I listened. It was really good. Complimentary. Something happened, though, at the end of the grade. His uncle became the head football coach of the parochial school, the Catholic school. So he recruited him off. So when I went to the public high school, I was like alone. I don't know anybody. I don't know how to talk to people. I mean, I was really in trouble, lonely, dealing with life like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, some of you may know my brother was a big-time football player. He's 5 years older, All-State, went to Harvard and everything. And so I tried to play football. But here's the deal. You may not believe this either. I was not taller in high school than I am now. No, I wasn't. I got killed playing football in 9th grade. Killed, obliterated. So I decided next year I quit. I didn't even make it through the whole season. I just quit. I said, I'm going to get killed. I'm going to quit. So I quit. So you know what I did? The next year I decided to wrestle. Because wrestle is weight-based, not size-based. I got killed in that too. I quit halfway through the season. So I felt like a quitter. I was lonely and I was a quitter. I was then vulnerable to something else. Drugs. I thought that was my gateway to friendship. I thought that was my gateway to pleasure. And for a while, it seemed to be true. For a while. But then all it did was made me feel stupid. And I got depressed. And I wondered about things in life of why God would be a great God and a good God and would allow suffering. And I wrestled with that and I was lost in life. Lost. Miserable. But then one night, when I was a junior in high school, before I went to bed, I got on my knees and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. About a week later, my mother says to me, "Bobby, have you seen the light? Have you found Jesus?" Why did she ask me that? I had changed. My heart had changed, my mind had changed, my demeanor had changed, my confidence had changed, my direction had changed, my sense of meaning and purpose had changed. Life was amazing all of a sudden. So youth, what are you waiting for? What are you putting off? God wants to bless you now and throughout your life. Amen. So don't deny yourself the blessing that God wants to give you right now. He wants to shape you. He wants to bless you. He wants to mold you, make you, and establish patterns and habits in your life of self-denial, of self-discipline, of selfless service of others, so that you might grow up to be a person of integrity, of self-discipline, of selfless service to others, and someone who knows the real meaning of life. And that is to love God, and that is to love your neighbor. Amen. That's what he wants. He wants to bless you and bless you and bless you. So do it now. Do it now when you have energy. Do it now too while you're still teachable. When you're young, you're more teachable. Let me prove that to you. How many of you learned your first language when you were 3 or 4 years old? Yeah, all of you. Raise your hands. Do you know how hard it is to learn a language? Do you know how hard it is for Google and Apple and Siri and Alexa and all the rest of those artificial intelligence people that speak to you? Do you know how hard it is for them to learn a language? They still screw it up. I mean, they have these supercomputers. They can't translate sometimes the simplest sentences. They can't get jokes. They don't have nuances. Why? Because learning a language is so complex. We have a computer in our mind that blows away anything IBM has. Because we're created in God's image. But you learned a language when you were 3 or 4 or 5 years old. Why? Because you're more teachable when you're young. Try to learn a second language when you're old like me. It's scary. It's dangerous. Learn of the Lord when you're young, because you're more teachable. You're more malleable. God can do more with your heart than when you get old and decrepit and stubborn and stuck in your ways. And that's the truth. In fact, do you know that most people who give their life to Christ do so before the age of 18? That's no coincidence. It's hard for old dogs to learn new tricks. And it's also hard for older people to soften their hearts enough to be open to God when he calls to them, but not so when you're young. So do it now. Do it when you're young. Do it when you're energetic. Do it when you're teachable. Do it while you have your whole life to give to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let me close this little message here with some words of advice from the Guardians of the Galaxy movie star, Chris Pratt. You can't see Chris very well there, but he's there. He addressed an MTV crowd early this spring, and he was asked to give them advice. He gave them some interesting advice. Some of it is rather scatological, and I can't repeat it from the pulpit. But let me share this, what he said. Number one, he said, youth, breathe. If you don't, you'll suffocate. That's pretty good advice, right? Secondly, he said, you have a soul. You have a soul. You're not just material. You have a soul. Be careful with it. Number three, don't be a jerk. If you're strong, be a protector. If you're smart, be a humble influencer. Strength and intelligence can be weapons. Don't wield them against the weak. That makes you a bully. Be bigger than that. That's good advice. Number four, reach out to someone in pain. Be of service. It feels good, and it's good for your soul. Number five, God is real, God loves you. God wants the best for you. Believe that. I do. Number six, learn to pray. It's easy. And it's so good for your soul. Finally, number seven, this is the most important word of advice of all. Nobody, nobody, nobody is perfect. People are going to tell you you're perfect just the way you are. You're not. You're imperfect. You always will be. But guess what? There is a powerful force in the universe that designed you, and if you're willing to accept that, you will find something else. You know what it's called? Grace. Grace. And grace is a gift. And like the freedom that we enjoy in this country, that grace was paid for by someone who shed their blood for you. Don't forget that. Don't take that for granted. Wow. That's pretty good advice from a movie star. I can't be dogmatic about this, but I'm pretty certain that if Chris were here, he would add one more thing to that list to you young people, and that would be the words of the wisest man who ever walked the planet besides Jesus himself, and that was Solomon, who said in the book of Ecclesiastes, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth." That's good advice, too. In fact, that's the best advice you're going to ever receive as a youth. And my advice to you is this. Don't forget. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the perspective that you give on life, for it is real. It deals with reality as it is. It doesn't pull any punches. It speaks to where we are in life. And we know the joys and the wonders of youth, and we also know the temptations of youth. We also know the joys and the wonders of growing old and mature, and we also, some of us at least, know the many temptations therein. Lord, help us to be wise, wise. We know that the beginning of wisdom is fearing you, fearing your word, following after you, and experiencing the grace that you've shown us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.